God gave a bold command to cross the Jordan and take the land. Not to worry about the giants they would face. But when the spies returned to tell the others what they had learned, they said, for us to win, there's just no way. Still two of them trusted God, Caleb and Joshua. They said, children, don't believe what you have heard. We know we're outmanned by far. They're much bigger than we are. But let's not forget just who it is we serve. With all the many miracles, why don't you think it's possible? With all the many things we've seen, why do you think it's just a dream? With all the things he's done for us, don't you think it's time we trust? Remember what is possible with all the many miracles. Like when we were about to die, manna fell from the sky, and then water came from a dry old dusty rock. And back when Pharaoh was closing in, God closed the sea again. But not before we all had safely crossed. So here you are, my friend. You face a battle you cannot win, and you tell yourself there's just no need to try. Consider how good God's been. He's been faithful time and again. You must believe, and here's the reason why. With all the many miracles, why don't you think it's possible? With all the many things we've seen, why do you think it's just a dream? With all the things he's done for us, don't you think it's time we trust? Remember what is possible with all the many miracles. Remember what is possible with all the many miracles.
Acts chapter 1 in your Bibles this morning. Acts chapter 1. And I don't take it lightly, the privilege it is to preach at this church and preach to you. I don't take lightly the responsibility it is as well. And so I do pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. And if you can stand, if you found the place in your Bible, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I'm going to preach this morning for a few minutes on the power we need. The power we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing, what a privilege, what a joy, and what a responsibility it is, Lord, to open up your word and to preach your word to people. And Lord, I don't take that lightly, and I ask that you would bless this preaching time, Lord, as you've blessed the service. Lord, thank you. What a joy it is to be a part of this church. What a joy it is, Lord, to see this place filled with people on a day like today. Lord, we ask that you would do something in our hearts and that we would be changed, that we would leave differently, Lord, than when we came. And we give this the glory and thanks to you. We pray this in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. In most Bibles, maybe in the Bible that you're holding this morning, the book of Acts is normally given the official title, the Acts of the Apostles. And while it is true, it is a story of the Acts and the ministry, the lives, the ministries of the apostles of Jesus Christ, it could very well be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Through the lives of the apostles, of course. Because when you look at the ministry of Jesus' apostles, it was supernatural. But they were not supernatural men. They were men just like you and I. But they were men who were filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were never the same after they met Jesus. And they were never the same after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll look at verse number 1 through 5 to get the background. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. This is Luke writing here. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. And this is not the message, but I just want to say that that is a good example for all of us. Began to both to do and to teach until the day. And that's our responsibility, to keep at it until the trumpet calls, or until he calls us home, to not let up in any way. After that, he had, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He told them to wait for the promise of the Father. Now what was that? That was the coming, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. In a special way, the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could not come because he has always been here. But when he came on Pentecost, he came in a very new and different ministry. And by the way, they did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He would come upon someone, and then he could come off of them, off of their life. Normally, he came upon a life for a very specific purpose, to a king, a prophet, or an individual. But this is something different. This is the promise of the Father. It is the indwelling Holy Spirit. And every believer, every child of God, has the indwelling Holy Spirit today. He talked about the baptism. He said in verse number 5, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That happened on the day of Pentecost. When the church was baptized with the Holy Spirit, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, 3,000 lost, Jesus-denying Jewish men believed on Christ. They were saved and baptized and added to the church the same day. And by the way, we see that the same thing happened in Acts chapter 11 when Cornelius and the Gentiles heard the gospel and they were saved. And the Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Let me say this, none of us need to tarry or wait or ask for a second blessing. When you got saved, you got the indwelling Holy Spirit. And you got everything you need to live the Christian life. and you got the gift of the Spirit, and you got him completely, and you got the baptism of the Spirit, and that is not, and of course, we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit as we live our lives, but we got everything we need. It is now our duty to be filled with the Spirit continually. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When someone is drunk, they are no longer in control of their actions, their speech, what they do, but there is a power, there is something controlling them, and that is what happens when the Holy Spirit is filling and controlling our lives. It's no longer us, but it's Him in control. It's not us having more of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit having more of us. And the more we yield to Him, the more He can control us, and the more He can do things through our lives. And I cannot think of a greater need today for churches, for Christians, especially men like the apostles, than Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I cannot think of something that Satan will fight more than Spirit-filled Christians. And I cannot think of a more encouraging book for us today than the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts tells us that God is not dead. And that God is still doing wonders. God is still changing lives. God, the Holy Spirit is still available and willing to fill any Christian who wants to be filled and used by God. And God is still willing to receive and save any lost sinner who calls upon Him. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. And the Holy Spirit is still the power that we need to live and serve God. And I cannot think of an area more needful of continual revival. We're praying for that in the month of January, are we not? Amen. Praying for revival. And I cannot think of an area in the Christian life that is more in need of continual revival than the area of being a personal witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, being a witness for Jesus Christ is one of the direct results of being filled with the Spirit. Right. And you can say what you want to, but if you're not a witness for Jesus Christ, then you're not filled with the Spirit. Because that is, he said, you shall receive power and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So it is a direct result, a definite proof of being filled with this Holy Spirit. In fact, no revival in history that I'm aware of has ever taken place apart from a tremendous move of God where souls were saved and lives were changed. And last week I was going through some files and paperwork that Dad had had over the years of important things and some things that a missionary has to have, like I had power of attorney. Of course, you have to have that for someone in case you need something done in the States or something happens, and we had that. And then I was going through some things, and it brought back a lot of memories from way, way back. And I came across an official-looking envelope, and on the outside of the envelope it said, "The Last Will and Testament of Robert Benjamin Angel." You know, that's a little sobering. You look at that thing. And I did that years ago, and you file it away. Of course, there's other files than that. I looked at that thing and thought, man, you know, it should be a sobering thing. And I guarantee you, folks, that when it comes down to the end of our lives, there are very few things that are really going to matter. Very few things. And in that will, of course, I give whatever I have to those who I love most, my wife, my children. And you don't have to dig very deep in the Bible to find the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. You don't have to dig very deep into the Bible, look very far into the Bible to find what is the most important thing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He gave it to us four times in the Gospels, and He repeated it in the book of Acts. And what is dear and near to the heart of Jesus Christ is the salvation of lost sinners. It's His last words. The last thing He said to His disciples is, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And I don't think that you and I will ever fully comprehend how much Jesus loves sinners and the lost and how much he wants them to be saved. And can I say this? The very best thing that this church and any church can do is to stay on track in the area of winning lost souls to Jesus Christ. When we were looking to buy land and build a building in Madagascar, it was like a mountain in front of us. And I told our church over and over and over again, God will take care of churches that take care of his business. And the best thing that we can do to keep God's hand on our church and upon our families is to stay busy winning souls to Christ. Now notice he didn't give them a power to know all things or to control all things. Look at verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. You know, it is. I don't believe the disciples, the apostles, were wrong to ask that question. And by the way, I don't think that we are wrong to have a real interest in our nation, in what is happening, and what's going to happen. I don't believe we should be inactive. I don't believe that should not be on our hearts. But can I say this? If we're not careful, sometimes the current day issues, the things that we cannot control, will consume more of our thoughts and more of our time and more of our worries than what we can control. And the bottom line is that none of us know what's going to happen this year. None of us can control what's going to happen this year. The times and the seasons are in God's hands. And God is going to do what God thinks is best. And you know, I'm not talking about not being aware. You know, it is sad to see what is happening in America, and when you live outside of the U.S. and you see a country moving away from God and the results, and it's sad. I am much more aware this furlough. I'm much more aware. You have to be as you go and as you look, and that's like being in Madagascar. In Madagascar, you got to be aware. When you park in your car, and there's people everywhere because a lot of people don't have cars, so there's bicycles and people walking, and there's people on the streets and street vendors. And if you've ever been outside the U.S., you've seen that, and there's just people everywhere, sellers and walking and all this stuff. So it's not like here, there's people all around. And so what happened to a good friend of mine is he was in traffic or parking his car, and someone knocked on his driver's side window and said, hey, you got a problem with your car. And he looked down, and someone reached into the other side window, and they got the money and everything else. And they tell you too, you know, when you park in your car, be careful because watch all around your car because if someone, what they'll do is you're parking your car, your attention is on parking over here, and then someone will just be talking over here, and they'll be kind of lean and they'll lean against your back door on the passenger side. And they'll very gently just lift the handle like this with their hand. And then you'll get out of the car, and you'll lock the car, and you'll think it's locked. But you go in, and when you come out, you're cleaned out. And so, I'm not talking about not being prudent. I'm not talking about being unconcerned. I'm not talking about not praying for our country and not voting and not standing up for right. I'm not talking about that. But the honest truth of the matter is none of us can control what's going to happen this year. None of us know. But what we can control is we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can be a witness for Christ this year. And the Bible says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and we can do the same thing. And I want to talk about three things quickly from this. Number one, we need to be a witness of who Christ is. Amen. I like verse number one. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And we don't know exactly who Theophilus is, but Luke wanted this man, whoever he was, to know about the most important person in the history of the world, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 8, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses to me. And in our day, as in every day, what we need is we need him to increase and we need us to decrease and to make much of Jesus Christ. That is exactly what they did when Peter stood up. Look at chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. They went right to Jesus. And they did it again in chapter 4, verse number 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And we're going to skip for time's sake to verse number 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And over and over and over in the book of Acts, they went right to Jesus. And that's what I have tried to do in Madagascar to those people that are steeped in animism and witchcraft and idolatry and religion, and take them straight to Jesus. And that'll work in the United States of America too. Jesus Christ, God the Son and the Son of God, God in the flesh and God with us. The eternal word, the I am, the bread of heaven, the living water, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life. What a blessing that is at a funeral. Amen. The author and finisher of our faith, the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no one that will be saved. And there is no one that will go to heaven or go to the Father but by Jesus Christ. King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lion of Judah and the Prince of Peace. Our faith is not a practice. It's not a religion. It's not a tradition. Our faith is a person. And that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that he was born of a virgin, that he died for our sins, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave to save us from our sins. We believe that he is the founder, the foundation, and the head of our church. And we believe that he is personally, like the Bible we just read, is personally coming, visibly and bodily, personally coming back to claim his own and to judge the world. And Jesus is the solution for this old world. As you see this world going deeper and deeper into darkness, you just remember the solution is not you, the solution is not me, the solution is not a church or religion, the solution is Jesus Christ. Number two, we need to be a witness of what Christ has done for all. Go back to chapter 1 there in verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world, of the earth. We believe in a whosoever will gospel. Amen. Yes, we do. We believe in an unlimited atonement gospel. Amen. We do not believe that Jesus Christ only died for the chosen few. We believe that Jesus Christ died for every person who would ever be born. We believe that Christ tasted death for every man. And by the way, that included the very Jews that Peter preached to. And he said, you have crucified the Lord of glory. And Jesus died for them. And that included the Gentiles that Paul went to, who were worshipers of the great Diana of the Ephesians. And that included them. And that includes everyone in between. And we believe that we are all made in the image and likeness of God, and that all of us stand equal at the foot of the cross. We believe that what this world needs most is reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. And Christ's great commission better be our great commission as a church. And I want you to see this in verse number 8. We look at that often as areas. And it's not wrong, because it does apply geographically. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, outermost part of the earth. But I think sometimes we get to looking at that like it has to do with areas. And that's not wrong, by the way. But it's about people. In Acts chapter 2, in Jerusalem, Peter stood up to a bunch of Jews who had denied Jesus Christ, who had crucified him, and he preached Christ. And the Holy Spirit did something miraculous that day and worked in their hearts, and a door of faith was opened to those Jews. And 3,000 of them were saved and baptized, added to the church on the same day. But those were people who were very similar to Peter. They were like him. And we need to be opening a door of faith to those who are like us. People that are similar to us. People around us. People on our street. People in our neighborhood. Or people out and about where you work. We need to be doing that. But then it says Judea. Now that's south of Jerusalem. And then Samaria. And that's north of Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 8, one man by the name of Philip opened the door of faith in both Samaria and in Judea. And he went up to Samaria where the Samaritans lived. And the Samaritans were half Jew and half Gentile, and the Jews hated the Samaritans and had no dealings with them. But Jesus loved the Samaritans and had dealings with them. John 4 tells us that. And Philip went up there to Samaria, and he preached the gospel to them when other Jews wouldn't. And a door of faith was opened to people who were shut out from the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then the Holy Spirit took that same evangelist, Philip, from the revival and took him down south of Jerusalem towards Gaza in the desert, because there was a man there from Ethiopia. And he was searching for Christ. And he even had his Bible open to Isaiah 53. But he had no idea who that was. And Philip opened a door of faith to a man who was shut out from the gospel and shut out from salvation, the blessings of Christ. And that African man had a door of faith opened to him. And then in Acts chapter 10, God took Peter, the Holy Spirit took Peter up to Caesarea, because there was a European man up there by the name of Cornelius, and he was the captain of the Italian band, and he was searching for truth, but he didn't know who it was, and a door of faith was opened to that man, and you had the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Had a door of faith open to them. But God wasn't done yet, because so later on in the book of Acts, he called a man by the name of Saul and turned him into the apostle Paul. And he went out and opened a door of faith all around the known world to people who were shut out from the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation. And friends, I just want to say that we need to be about opening a door of faith. To those close to us, to those like us, to those different from us, and to this entire world. And praise the Lord that for how many years now Faith Baptist Church has been opening doors of faith here and all around the world to those who have been shut out. And God will bless this church if we will keep doing that. I think about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and I think about the Saturday when a door of faith was opened to Brother Larry Johnson. Amen. And he wasn't going to hear the gospel in his own home. But God took someone who was from an entirely different part of the country and took him by that house. And a door of faith was opened that day. Amen. And I think about other people in this church, and a door of faith was opened in Africa to your family at some point down the road. And the door of faith was opened to all of us at some point. Somebody came by, either someone similar to us or different or in our area or somehow, and a door of faith was opened to us. I'm telling you, I appreciate the people who have been faithful in this church over the years. Everywhere I go, people give me a hard time about being from Illinois. Oh, Illinois. And it's true. I mean, we even make jokes. I mean, it's horrible. I honestly, in some ways, think California is better than Illinois. I mean, I was out there, and I think at least they have nice weather. I mean, they're not in minus 10 this morning. I mean, I don't know. It's terrible. It is. But you know what? We're here. And people in this area need the Lord. They do. You know, I've had to put up with a lot of things to be in Madagascar. A lot of things. Paperwork like you couldn't believe. I mean, stacks that thick. Power cuts. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But if I had let that dominate me, I'd miss the blessing of being in ministry there. And I thank the Lord for all of you, for as long as God has you here, for saying, you know, I'm here. But you know what? There are people, they are born here, they grew up here, and they need a bus to go by their house. And they need a soul winner to knock on their door. and they need someone to love them and invite them to a church. They need a church with doors open, someone to give them a tract, and thank the Lord for those of you who have kept the doors open at this church for all these years and been a witness. And I want to say lastly, we need to be a witness of what Christ has done for us personally, not just for the whole world. He said in verse 8, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. And then he said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Do you see that? And I just want to say that it's not just about what Christ has done for the whole world, but it's also about what Christ has done for us, for you and me personally. You know, I don't think that Peter ever got over what Jesus had done for him. On the day of Pentecost, man, he jumped right up and he spoke about the Lord. Why wouldn't he? How much the Lord loved him. I'll tell you someone else who never got over it was Paul. He said, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He even talked about Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. And you can say what you want to, but the Lord reached down in a miraculous way and saved that man who was on his way to hell. God did something miraculous. But you know what the truth is? God didn't do that just for Paul. He did that for you and me. Like the son, I didn't even know the lesson was gonna go with the message, but like the lesson, you either saved from sin or out of sin. And either way, God did something miraculous. And we need to be careful about getting too ho-hum over what the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
Where would you be without the Lord?
Right.
Where would you be? I was talking to Granny this week or last week, and she was just telling me some things about her mom getting saved and that I never even knew. Man. I mean, God's great grace and love literally changed our family for generations. And he's done that for all of us. His great love and mercy. We didn't deserve that. We could be sitting in a foreign country today. And the biggest thing that could be on our radar is watching a car come down the road. I've seen that. That could be us. 12 hours on a main road with not one Baptist church. We better be thankful for what God has done for us. Look into the eyes of our kids and be thankful that we can get to raise them in a Christian home with the love of Christ. Amen. I was in a Brahms after church in Oklahoma City, and we were talking to people, and they were from McLean, Texas. And Ashley's dad said, yeah, I'm an assistant pastor at Windsor Hills Baptist Church, and Jim Vineyard is our pastor. And she said, what was that name? He said, Jim Vineyard. And she said, and she knew the family. And she said, never in a million years would I have ever guessed that someone from that family could be a pastor. That's what the grace of God can do. And that's what he did for us. He either saved us out of it or he saved us from it. You know, folks, Jesus did and taught. We need both. We need to be verbal witnesses. And we need to be knocking doors and running bus routes and witnessing those around us. We also need, like the lesson said this morning, representing Christ to a lost world through our lives. I have a neighbor. I've got a great neighbor and good neighbors. And I've got a neighbor and it's a mess. And we try, you know, we try. And we got the big snow, I think, was it Friday? We got the first snow, and So I just happened to open the shades there in the front window, and when I was at the time, and I opened them up, and she was stuck. She's an older lady, and she was stuck in her driveway. And so I just ran out there and, you know, pushed, gave her a push and got her in. And it's not a big deal. But I just prayed, Lord, I pray that through what we say, little things like that, Lord, thank you for giving me the chance to happen to open the shade at that time so I could go be a blessing to that lady. Because, folks, what's going to help them but Christ? What's going to help them? They're turning to everything. And it's destroying homes and lives. God has us on this earth to be witnesses unto him. We need to be a witness of who he is. We need to make much of Christ because he's the only solution. And we need to be a witness of what he's done for the whole world, home and abroad. And we need to never get over of being a witness of what he's done for us personally. And people are afraid. There's open doors. You travel, you talk to people, they'll bring it up. I don't know what's going to happen. You say, you know what? You're right. But let me tell you about Jesus. And they may not get saved, but there's an open door. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that on this cold and snowy morning, I pray that your word was a blessing to those who have come. And Lord, I know it's not me, it's you, it's the Holy Spirit, it's your word. Lord, I know that for me personally, there is not an area that I need to pray for about continual revival more than the area of being a personal witness for you. I need it to be on my mind. I need to be an example. I need to be a light in this world. I need to be a voice for you. I need to be ready, Lord, to speak about you, that my life needs to show Your good works, Lord, people would believe on you. So, Lord, help me, and I believe that's true of all of us in this room. Give us revival, Lord, in the area of being filled with the Spirit and being a witness for you. May it be our passion, Lord, like it is your passion. It's what is near and dear to your heart. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to ask, is there anyone here this morning and you're not sure that if you died right now, you would go to heaven? We sang that song, Born Again. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Have you ever been born again? If you're not sure you've ever been born again, if you're not sure if you died, you go to heaven, we don't want to embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. If that's you, would you raise your hand very quickly and then put it down? I need to be born again. I'm not for sure if I died, I would go to heaven. Okay. Maybe someone could say, you know what? In some way, in some fashion, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart this morning about this area of being a Spirit-filled witness for Christ. Being a witness for Christ in this world. You can raise your hand if that's you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're the hope. We're the light. We're salt. Let's not be derelict in our duty. Let's all stand to our feet. The instruments are playing. If you need to come to the altar is open.